with an almost exclusive emphasis on scanner monitoring. Thanks to Steve, WB2WAK, for the use of the repeat 24 hours a day to all licensed amateurs. There were two inputs to the repeater, the down 600 input, which calls for no PL. When we are in the net mode, and we are in the net mode, there is the 600 up, which calls for a PL of 136.5. We encourage all stations in New York City and New Jersey to use the upper input so as not to cause interference to the 805 repeater in New Jersey. Taping the net is encouraged, and this is the net of March 5th, 1996. It is the policy of the net not to pass any sensitive frequencies, commonly known as unpublished or ongoing investigation frequencies. Basically, no law enforcement frequencies that could endanger a police officer's life. Also, we ask you to be mindful of federal and state laws against the law to reveal to any other person, not a party to transmissions, the contents of those transmissions. It's against the law to intercept remote radio, TV broadcast pickups, and mobile telephone conversations of any type. And please bear in mind state laws on cordless and cellular calls. In the net tonight, we will handle the following items, in the following order. First business will be scanner information. When all that has been passed, we will then go into product information. After that, we will have AM DXing. And at the end, we will have shortwave utilities. And we do not pass shortwave broadcast information. Fan mail, that is mail from our listeners, will be worked into the net as we go through it. We ask that when you check into the net, in addition to your call letters, please give us your first name and let us know if you are just listening, if you have information, or if you have a query. Anybody who would like to check into the net, please come now.
Stand to, GC and Hank with traffic.
Bill, good evening, guys, all traffic.
10-2, GC and Hank with traffic.
WA2BWM, Ron, Franklin Square with a scanner query. And going to open a big can of worms tonight.
WB2PPC, Frank and Copeg, just listening.
And 2RZG, Dick, just listening.
WGF, Ron, quick scanner query.
Okay, sounds good. Into VRA with info, I think that was Steve in there, there was a little bit of doubling. Into YGH with info, Hank into GCN with info. B was in there, W2PBH, Ron with a can of worms, obviously we're going fishing tonight. And he has a query, WA2BWF. WB2PPC into RZG into VGF, Ron, with a query. That's where we get started. Let's take one more call-up, and then we'll get right into the action. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come now.
YYI, listening.
KB2, listening.
Had a few doubles there. I believe that was Bob in there. N2YYI. Bob had sent in some information, and Bob will talk about your note a little bit later on. There was a KB2 station, and then there was an Ernie station, a URU. So I'll tell you what, the KB2 station, would you please try again?
KB2 Uniform Victor Victor with product info and product query.
Into URU, Ramsey, New Jersey. Name is Ernie. Just listening.
WA2FBB. Listening, Wally.
Charlie, one of these days I'm going to be able to recognize the call immediately. KB2UVV with info and query. Ernie from New Jersey. Ernie, you have a beautiful station. the beam antenna or whatever. This sounds real good. N2URU and WA2FBB. I'll drop it, and hearing nothing, we will then move right up to the top of the list and get into the action. And that was heard at N2WWM with product info. All right, what I'll try to do, my memory being rather lacking, if the first thing that we'll go through will be the scanner info. And if I happen to call on you and it's product, you could just sort of remind me. Okay, Curtis, in there. Let's go up to the top of the list, N2VRA in the net, WB2RVA.
Good evening, Ed, into the net, N2VRA here. A little bit under the weather, but I'll do the best I can. Got tons of info over here. Well, let me see and try and keep it in perspective with the net. I have two product things over here that I wanted to mention, but when you open that part of net, I'll bring it up then at that time. Also another announcement that I have. Okay, just some general information. The NOAA weather alert is transmitted every Wednesday morning between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. as a test signal. Last Wednesday, the test signal was heard at 10:06 a.m., and 2 weeks ago, it was heard at 10:35 a.m. And I also found out, and I was speaking to Curtis about this, there is a Uniden distributor located in Hicksville under the name of ERS Distributing. But the big quo here is that, unfortunately, they don't sell to the public. They strictly sell to retail outlets. So I thought maybe we could get our shoe in the door there and get a discount, but nada. Curtis, as long as you're on there, just let me mention this fast. I heard you talking this morning on the 8.5 machine to KB2UMW, Jim, and he was asking questions about the shuttle down in Florida. And it's just the general information for the net also. Down in Florida, you can hear the shuttle landing on two frequencies. If you're within 200 miles of where it comes down, and those frequencies are 259.7, 259.7, and 296.8, 296.8. Drop. This was a real gangbuster of the day for military aero. I wish Bob could check in, N1MLZ. I'm sure he's listening. And today was quite a day up there. I have some frequencies over here. I'll give you these first, and I'll give you my loggings for the day. This is military aero in the AM mode. And here are some of the frequencies. These are the ones that have been pretty active in the last 3 weeks. And Charlie, KB2UVV, this will help fill up your 890 scanner and all those other people out there that have military capability to receive 225 to 400 megs. Okay, some of the active ones in the last 3 weeks, these are all confirmed. 286.7, 286.7, 317.7, 317.7, 381.6, 381.6, 251.25, 287.5, 287.5, 340.8, 340.8, 385.5, 385.5, 348.7, 348.7, drop. 303.0, 303.0. Interestingly enough, 303.0 is a tactical frequency, and I'll mention in a couple of minutes I heard a refueling operation on there today. 381.8, 381.8. 342.5, 342.5, 364.2, 364.2, 319.4, excellent frequency also, 319.4, 282.3, 282.3, 386.2, 386.2, 286.2, 286.2, drop. QVRA in the net. 233.6, 233.6, 349.4, 349.4, 273.4, 273.4, 301.6, 301.6, 243.0, 243.0, 378.1, 378.1, 372.2, 372.2. Three more on this list. Everybody's awake, I hope. 251.8, 251.8, and 266.5, 266.5, and 228.7, 228.7. That is where the action has been over the last couple of weeks. Today was really something else, and I tried to dedicate as much time as I could to some of these loggings today. But, you know, when it's going on, a phone rings or something happens, all I was doing is just jotting numbers down, but I have some good info here. Let me drop. Okay, these are my loggings for today, 3596, and I'm using a TST 2604 tri-band, 2-meter 440 900 meg, 300 meg airband received, and enhanced 800 gain antenna. WOW on that. Wow, that's an antenna. And it works very well. Picked it up at the ham stand 2 weeks ago. And I hope Bob is listening again, M1MLZ. Okay, let's get started. Today, 319.4, 319.4, heard OPEC 23 Alpha, status is 1. I'll explain at the end over here. Maybe I'll, let's see, can I jump to this now? Let me jump to this part here. So you can get a better perspective of what I'm talking about. Hang on, please. A lot of the information I'm giving is just like bits and pieces. They're not full conversations. I'll tell you what I'm doing. When blazing along at the scan rate of 100 channels per second with the 3000 XLT, that's the radio I'm using, I sometimes only pick up bits and pieces of a conversation. But at this point, I'm new to monitoring the military airband. So right now, I'm only concerned with active frequencies right now, not so much their context. And basically, what I'm looking to do is to achieve optimum results and give special consideration will be given to the active freaks, the ones that I find continuously active, for future programming and context. So eventually, we'll kind of narrow this down and get some better loggings out of this. Right now, it's bits and pieces, and as I said, I've got 100 channels in there, and it shoots by so fast. You get a little of this and a little of that, but between the range of 225 megs and 400, that's a tremendous range to search. And I'm not really searching that entire range. I've got 100 channels out of that that are supposedly active from a good source, N1MLZ. But so far, so good. And the list will always be improved, and I'll pass on the best information I can to the net, my sermon, and to VRA. Let me drop for a second, please. Okay, so if you hear bits and pieces, don't get aggravated at me. Anyway, 319.4, OPEC 23 Alpha, status is 1. 381.8, Coast Guard inbound, 10 minutes from Victor. On 381.6, I heard Deer Park VOR several times. 349.4, a cracked taxi light, right landing gear seal indicator, have a temporary fix. On 359.4, I heard Hornet. Yes. 303.0, it sounds like a refueling operation, but that's also a tactical frequency, so that's kind of interesting. 301.6 was very active, but couldn't make heads or tails of the conversation. It was just coming up all the time, and just trying to jot down some info is pretty tough, especially at that scan rate. Anyway, 342.5, heard Marine 60012 request current weather conditions at Langley Air Force Base. Heavy crosswinds observed. Request weather 15 minutes out. Okay, 317.7 was very active. I heard call sign Hangman 1. I have no idea what that was. Drop. Thanks to VRA. 349.4. Someone was calling. The call sign was Reach 60012. What is Reach? I have no idea. I bet Bob can answer that. 361.4. Reach was the call sign. 361.4. I heard 15 minutes out from Marine Ramp. someone called for a PCR. I don't know what a PCR is. 249.8, I've got a radio problem, Tomcat 2, fighter craft right there. That was heard on 249.8. 342.5, the operator said, you talk too fast, repeat. And I've got a couple other ones over here. Let me drop one second, please. Okay, 290.3. I heard back to Otis Air Force Base. Who, what, and when? Don't know. That was heard on 290.3. One of the best frequencies, so this one says coming up all day today. And last week also, it was quite active, was 251.250. Winds are 280 at 65, vector 360. Okay? And again, the action mostly takes place between 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., sometimes from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And I have some additional frequencies over here, which are also very active, with no particular information about them, but they kept coming up. And they were 282.3, 343.8, 259.4, 259.4, 286.2, 286.2, 287.5, 301.6, 301.6. Okay, as long as we're on this military kick over here, I have some information that was given to me by Bob up in Connecticut up there, N1MLZ. Some of these frequencies were in the last couple of weeks. He had given these out as a logging. And I'm just going to repeat a few of them because I think they're worthwhile. On 288.7, Bob heard Hammer 21 at the Air National Guard in Atlantic City, 288.7. On 259.1, he heard confirmed kill on Victor. This was a dogfight activity, confirmed kill on Victor, 259.1. The Suffolk Air National Guard was heard on 287.5. He heard a refueling operation on 252.8 for refuel truck. Also, another dogfight that Bob had mentioned, 273.4 and 239.2. He heard Snake 41, 42, and 43. Snake 41, 42, and 43 engaging on those frequencies, 273.4 and 239.2. On 259.4, 259.4, he heard Tomcat 03 and Foot Rope. And that's from the, Air National Guard up in Orange, Connecticut. Bob also mentioned, he heard 255.0, Giant Killer, along with Hammer. And on 283.8, he heard Hammer 61 and 62. Hammer 61 and 62. And finally, another dogfight, and the frequencies were 318.4, along with 251.8. He heard smash units, smash 31 and smash 32 were heard on 318.4, and on 251.8, smash 33 and smash 34 were heard, and that was dogfight activity. And for the record, smash units are from Vermont. Okay, Ed, and I have some other information. Basic, just general product information, put me in the category there when you decide on that segment of the net. And I shall bring it out. WB2RVA in the monitoring the Long Island Sound scanner net. This is N2VRA. Over to the next call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank. All those frequencies will certainly keep the military bus going for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we do have you noted as having product information. We will pick you up when you get around to there. The next station will be Steve, YGH. We'll pick you up in about 2 minutes, Steve. What I'm trying to do is to keep up the practice of working fan mail into this so that we, because we do have an awful lot of fan mail this week, which is great. From again, from our good friends and that vast listening audience out there. And we try to work these items in individually as we go along so that everybody gets a pretty fair shot. And old net control, getting older by the day, doesn't sort of have to do about a 30-minute monologue at the end. We got a nice piece of mail from, again, our good friend Ed in Cedarhurst, who is like all over the place, just doing a super job. And this is information he picked up from America Online, and it's about the National Scanning, second annual Lancaster, PA, convention update. In other words, this is a meeting that we've been talking about in Pennsylvania. So if you've got your tape recorders going, we hope. The dates, again, Friday, July 12th through Sunday, July 14th. It's pretty much check-in on Friday and pretty much check-out on Sunday, with the major part of the meeting being held on Saturday. Where is it being held? It's being held at the Lancaster Holiday Inn, formerly known as the Lancaster Host Resort. And with my business experience of traveling, I know that in the past, any name that had the word, any hotel that had the name Host in it was a well-run hotel. The rooms, they say we urge all members to stay right at the Lancaster Holiday Inn. This is much more convenient, it's safer, and if you mention that you are with the National Scanning Convention, you will receive a substantial discount on your room rate. The phone number, the 800 number for the Lancaster Holiday Inn. Now, even though this is coming up in July and this is only March, now would be a good time to call and make your reservation. Hotel phone number, 1-800-233-0121. I repeat, 1-800-233-0121. And it says, ensure that you are with the National Scanning Convention. Tickets to the meeting, it says call DX Radio Supply or National Scanning. That is not an 800 number, but it's Pennsylvania, and it's not that far. The phone number for to get tickets for the convention, area code 610, and the phone number is 273-7823, 273-7823. Again, the area code is 610. To reserve your admission tickets to the convention. Tours, you want to bring the wife and kiddies along, and you want to go to the meeting, and you'd like, you know, they'd like to tour the Amish countryside. And there's another 800 number if you call the Pennsylvania Convention and Visitors Center at 1-800-735-2629. Repeat, 1-800-735-2629. You'll receive a large packet containing area maps, places to visit, photographs, find out about the abundance of quaint shops, food shops, major pretzel manufacturers, wood products, farms, blah, 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 and so forth. Another point, and then we'll drop it for this, well, actually two more points, and then we'll drop it, but we do intend to promote it in coming weeks. They have made arrangements for the Columbia area at Lancaster Amateur Radio Club to be part of the convention, and their blurb says these great amateur radio operators, hobbyists, will conduct a giant ham fest and will be housed in a room that we haven't even seen last year, about the size of a football field. So look for exhibits, speakers, seminars, displays covering all types of ham radio, CD, GMRS, shortwave, etc. And the last point, and then we'll drop it for tonight, there will be VE, that is volunteer examiner test, amateur radio test. And again, for those people in the vast listening audience who would like to become hams, this would be a great opportunity. Okay, end of that promo for tonight, and let's pick up Steve now. N2YGH with info. Steve, all yours.
Check KE2.
WWM13.
All right, KE2N recognized, and the station with the query?
2WWM, Curtis N.
Okay, Curtis, go. Steve, stand by for a second, Curtis. As you know, we picked up the queries which are relative to what we are discussing at the moment. Curtis, take it away.
Do you mean that the people up there, the Amateur Radio Club up there, in addition to the show, is going to have a ham fest at the same time? Is that what you're saying, Ed? Back to you. Thank you, WWM.
Well, I don't have any timing on that, Curtis, and I think you can tell I'm pretty much reading from the computer printout which came off the America Online. It says they made arrangements to be part of this communications convention. They'll be in a giant ham fest. My guess, we can try to find out more about it. Saturday obviously will be the big day, and it will be one of the things that we didn't talk about, and we'll get into seminars and so forth next week. Maybe we can, by next week, have some more information. My guess would be that Saturday is going to be the big day, and there'll probably be a ham fest possibly going on simultaneously or maybe at certain hours, whatever. But the major thing is that there will be a ham fest also there. Back to you, Curtis.
That sounds really good. They didn't have that last year. The big thing that was last year was the flight in from White Flight and the area fire department that they had. The only the big thing that missed on Friday was the 911 up there in Lancaster area. But it's a 3-day event, and it normally ends around noontime or 1 o'clock on Sunday, so it really doesn't go through the day on Sunday, because a lot of people are checking out of the hotel and want to get back home and get to work for Monday. So really Friday, Saturday, and partial of the morning on Sunday. Back to
you. Thank you, Curtis. Okay, as I said, we will be talking more about this thing. Curtis was the one who originally brought the whole concept to us, because he and Rose went to it in 1995, and as soon as Curtis came back, he started spreading the word. And now we are getting more and more information coming in. Just sounds like a real great thing. And we are thinking, we as a group, so to speak, are thinking about making our presence known out there. It sounds like a great weekend. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from New York City. Steve, thank you for your patience. N2YGH, take it away.
Okay, no problem. So it makes the net great. Add all the info. You know, that's the bottom line, getting the info through. First of all, I have a breaking scanner story. Third alarm fire is raging out of control in Queens at box 9389. A partial building collapse, and that's how that is, the whole thing going. Extension to other buildings, which means that the fire is spreading probably to other structures, which is not a very good thing. Let me give out some freaks. 154.400 for Queens fire. 154.400. Citywide EMS. 478.0125, they have a command center station there. And 461.650, which is citywide news. They'll give progress updates as it's learned through the other frequencies. So that's like a catch-all frequency, the 461.650. That's like one of the best bets in the New York City area. Let me let it drop a sec. Okay, I was looking at monitoring times, latest issue, March, and on page 108,
They have, in the Ask Bob article section, I should say, they have Bob's tip of the month, which is wide frequency coverage on Regency 4020 scanners and maybe some Bearcats too. I don't know how many people have seen this, but there is a sequence in which you could hit on the 100 and I found the 200 and the 100 XLT, where if you switch the radio on, you press manual, then you hit 1 and then the manual to display channel 1. You re-enter the existing frequency on that channel, then you press 888888888, blah, 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 to obliterate all the digits. You don't enter that, you just press all those digits. Then you hit the priority button, and as soon as the priority clicks in, you rotate the squelch open and close again, and supposedly it starts scanning from 10 megs up to 1,000 megs. Not exactly true, but sort of true. Let me let it drop. I have found, by doing this, it does work. It works on the 100 and the 200. But the range that it will search, okay, listen to this, depends on what you have programmed in the search ranges. For instance, let's say if I had, if I hit 144 and then limit and 148 limit, then I turned off the radio, and I turned it on, and I did all that button pressing and entering and so on and so forth, the radio would start scanning from 10 megahertz on up in 5 kilohertz steps. If I had programmed in it 406 to 420, okay, in the search limit ranges, when I turned on the radio and did all that, it'll scan from 10 megs up in 25 kilohertz steps. If I programmed in 450 to 512 as the search ranges, and I turned off the radio and put it back on, it would search from 10 up in 12.5 kilohertz steps. Now, mind you, some, you know, obviously the reception is not good at that bottom part of the band. Obviously, the electronics are not in the radio to receive those ranges at all. Once it got to about 30, it started getting some stuff. And I've noticed at a couple of ranges I programmed in, when I did turn the radio on and did that stuff, it just pretty much ran through the numbers, but no reception was possible, like a test mode. Let me let it drop one sec. Okay, now, the most usable mod I actually found, since it only receives, doesn't receive wideband FM, so if you're going to go listen to TV stuff once it gets up above in the 600 to 800 megahertz range, you're not going to receive anything because it's not wide FM. Again, it does not go in that band. But what I did find is if you program 118 to 136 in the search limits before you turn the radio off, then you put it on, then you do the keystrokes, it'll search from 989 and turn over at 0000. And it'll search in 25 kilohertz ranges in the AM mode from 0 megahertz. Now, you don't get any reception down there because, like I said, the electronics aren't in it. But once you get up to the 108 to 118 band, which is not ordinarily in the radio, reception is possible. And I was able to hear some of the beacons and stuff that are located there. That's what's from 108 to 118. You hear a lot of the beacons from the airports. I hear two myself from LaGuardia Airport. One is on 113.1, which I heard on 200 XLT. And another one on 110.5, which I think is another one from LaGuardia, if I'm not mistaken. So it does work to a degree. And I'm sure by trying other search ranges, it'll search in different ways. Let me let it drop. There's one more interesting one I found. And 2YGH in the scanner net. Okay, I also programmed in the range of 806 to 956. And needless to say, I turned off the radio, I put it back on, I did the keystrokes, and I thought, okay, it's going to search probably from 806 on up. No, it didn't. It searched from 164.00 on up in 12.5 kilohertz steps, which the radio normally never does. It goes in 5 kilohertz steps. I didn't recognize if there was any reception, though, while doing this. I left the antenna off, so it would just run and run and run, so I could see where it would begin and end. I never did get to see where that search range ended, but it did start in that VHF 5 band in 12.5 kilohertz steps. Very, very strange. I'm sure there'll be more to follow on this one as this one unfolds. As for the flyer, I guess it's still going, so you might want to punch in those frequencies. That's an active job, and they'll probably be on that one for some time. Sounds like it might even go to four alarms, so you might want to check that one out. And to IGH in ScanNet. Back to you, Ed.
Thank you very much, Steve, for an interesting presentation on pushing buttons on the scanner. It's amazing that the scanners are capable of doing things like that, and yet when anybody bought the scanner, the owner's manual didn't tell you a thing about it. And we say goodbye at this moment to about 97% of the net as they go over to their scanners and listen to fire, EMS, and citywide news on the Queen's Flyer. Only kidding. All right, let's pick up one or two pieces of quick fan mail and work it in. Speaking of fires, we got a note, I think it just came in the mail today, and it's from our good friend Russ in Rockaway Beach, the man who prepares the summary, the index, that's the word I was looking for, the index for the issues of monitoring Long Island sounds, and did a beautiful job with the first 60 issues. He writes, he says, Dear Ed, I'll start with some loggings. On Tuesday, February 6th, 4-alarm fire in the South Bronx on the 15th floor of an apartment building, WB2RBA. One woman was killed. There was a special call for the high-rise unit, 95-foot tower ladder truck. During the fire, on the fire department citywide frequency of 154.43, they said that the high-rise repeater being put into operation, that citywide would be off the air. Russ goes on, I didn't hear anything on that frequency until later. Maybe the citywide frequency is used as an input frequency to the high-rise repeater, and I was too far from the fire scene, again, Rockaway Beach, to hear the input. And he goes on to say, on February 25th, a small commuter plane's engine caught fire at JFK Airport. The people got off the plane without any injuries. I heard Port Authority police and fire at the scene on 453.375, Queens Fire on 154.4, and New York City EMS citywide on 478.0125. Interesting that the two frequencies, the two last frequencies that Russ mentioned, 154.4 and the 478.0125, are the same frequencies that Steve has been monitoring tonight. He goes on to say, I enclosed a notice for the Westchester Emergency Communications AmFest. We'll get into that a little bit later on. I tend to think of that as a separate category. Got a note in the mailbox today from Betty from North Merrick. She said, as usual, you have a wonderful program. I enjoy it very much. Keep up the good work. Number one, yesterday, Monday, yesterday around noontime, on my Realistic Pro 2023, I heard the astronaut talking. I had been trying to get them all week. I couldn't hear them. I guess I put it on at the wrong time. Nobody seems to mention them anymore, and they are doing a wonderful job. For the newcomers, the frequency, and Betty then mentions 145.43. That's the King's Park repeater. So if you want to listen to the astronaut, try 145.43. And Betty says on March 3rd, which I take it was Sunday, I was searching on my Bearcat 350A, got a frequency of 462.975. East Rockaway with a patient was on the floor, and they were taking them to Nassau Hospital. I take it that's MCMC. Still on the Bearcat searching, I verified frequency 153.815, Department of Agriculture, there's Betty, and verified 155.49, which is the police department in Manasquan, Borough District 27, New Jersey. We thank Betty for that information, and we move on now to Hank. And Hank, I know that you do have Sean Wade, and I'll mark that here too. And of course, any of your scanner information, we'd love to have right now. Into GCN and the net, take it away.
Okay, thank you much. You also have AM logging, stealing a couple of them, but anyway. Good evening, everyone. I'm Hank into GCN. Here's my information for the week as far as scanning. First off, on 122.0, that's again 122.000 on VHF AM, at 1119 AM, Aeronautical Mobile, flight watch, they call it en route to flight advisory service. I heard Pat, 511, providing flight conditions, weather and wind and so forth. His destination was Sophie Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland. The aircraft was a C-26, and I heard March 5th. Today, next one on 127.7, again 127.700 VHF AM, at 12:15 p.m., Aeronautical Mobile, KCDC, again the call is KCDC, Washington Center, Air Route Traffic Control Center, remote site is Sea Isles, New Jersey, a low altitude frequency, or USAF Flight 515, today again. And the last one of the week, 131.075, again 131.075, and VHF AM at 121 p.m., Aeronautical Mobile, the station WPY8, that's Whiskey Papa Yankee number 8, Bradley International Airport, Windsor-Lock, Connecticut, in route station, or Jetlink Flight 176, call Hartford. I say it was in range, which means about ready to land, so the crews would get ready on the ground. This is the first time I heard this frequency, so it's a new one, and heard on March 5th. Again, I have two AM loggings there, and that's actually what I may do tonight as well, since I only have two. I have a whole listing of frequencies, or stations that I picked up from Canada. Perhaps I'll put it out here tonight for people who wish to listen to those. Thank you, WV2RVA into GCNOVU.
Thank you very much, Hank. Appreciate that. And we do have you down for DX, AM DX as well. That's in short wave. All right, let's pick up another piece of fan mail. And this is Bob, who was checked in tonight in TYYY the other day. We do appreciate the mail. And obviously, Bob, please feel free to check into the net and to bring your information on the air. We try to encourage that. Bob's note basically says, I've been a listener to the net for about 2 years. Wow. First as a scanner listener, and now as a ham. You do a great job. The view he's talking about is the collective view. Everybody out there who checks in with info, query, comments, and the people who write that great fan mail. You all do a great job. Bob was with us at Nathan's in Hicksville recently. He said it was fun to meet some of the people at Nathan's recently, although I did not get to speak with you. Well, we'll have to correct that. And Bob, I sent you a note about the ring and so forth. I will fill you in completely on that one. Closed, and Bob is here in a subscription. Bob, you are a new member of MLIS. You've got the SASE. And we're still working out of boxes. I'll tell you more in later on. In fact, I think this is the last night that I'll be working from my normal working position, and then I'm going to have to find some spot house. I am moving probably in the next week down to the basement, and it'll be comfortable, but unfortunately none of the antenna lines reach there, so we're going to have to be moving antennas, so I'll find another room in the house for the time being. And Bob finishes off by saying, once again, the net will run, informative, looking forward to Tuesday. All right, Bob sends in some information, and if you're ready to copy, in Woodside, New York, Woodside, Queens, the Twin, TWIN, car service, the cars, and the base, the operating frequency is 854.2375, 854.2375. And in Brooklyn, the Big Apple Corporate Limo, there are three frequencies for the base, and channel one is 851.0625, channel 2 is 853.5875, and channel 3 is 853.5625. And Bob says the cars are 45.0 megahertz, 45.0. So Bob, we thank you for the information, and again, we do encourage you, put a check mark here, we covered that information. We do encourage you, as well as everybody, to check into the net with info, query, or a comment. Good to have you aboard as a new member of Monitoring Long Island Sound. All right, everybody get ready. We're about to start World War III here as we go over to WA2BWM with a query, WC2RBA. Ron, all yours.
Yeah, Roger. Good evening to you in the net, WA2BWM returning. Well, I just wanted to query here. I had something happen to me the other day, and it just bothered me the way they went about it. As you guys know, I have the handheld Pro 43, have had it, well, actually, since just about the first time it came out, which is quite a few years. And I think, as most people know, they stopped making that model now. They don't make it anymore. Anyway, I was having a problem with it the other day. The earphone jack was acting up, was cutting in and out. So I decided to bring it in, since I have a warranty on it, to be repaired. So I brought it in and to you know where, and the fella, first of all, he took a look at it. He said, "Wow, a Pro 43. I haven't seen one of those in years. You know, that's an antique." So I said, "Yes, I've had it for quite a few years." So he said, "You know what this is worth?" I said, "Well, I think I paid about $200 or something for when it came out." He said, "You know, you can get about $700 for this right now." So I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because this thing covers the cellular band on it." So I said, "Well, I never really bothered with that. You know, I'm not really much interested in that." So I told him what the problem was. He said, "Well, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to modify this thing." So I said, "What are you talking about? I just want to get the earphone thing repaired." So he says, "Well, it covers the cellular band, and what they're going to do is eliminate that for you." So I says, wait a minute, I don't want to eliminate it. So I said, "All I want is the thing repaired." He said, no, it's got to be modified. It's against the law to have that." So I said, "I understand it's against the law, but I don't want anybody to touch it. I just want it back the same way I'm giving it to you. The only thing I want done on it is to have the earphone jack plugged." "Well, we really can't do that. We have to modify it." And we're going back and forth on and on. So I told him, I said, "Look, this thing was made before that law was passed. I'm quite sure there are many people out there who have receivers that are covering the same thing as this thing does, you know. And I'm quite sure that the government is not going to go to the manufacturers and get a list of everybody who has a thing to receive cellular and tell them to have it to taken care of." So he says, "Well, we won't touch it because you're not authorizing it. But what we'll have to do, we may have to have you sign a letter, say releasing us from any responsibility for it, because we both know it's against the law to receive this thing. So we may have to have you sign, a paper that you're not authorizing us to change it." So I said, "Look, just prepare the thing. We'll worry about that when the time comes." So what my question is, are they allowed to do this to you? I mean, go ahead and do something without your permission, even though it is against the law, and we all know it is. Like they were ready to take this thing upon themselves to do it, even whether I wanted to or not, and I found it to be very annoying. So I wonder what the net thinks of that. WA2BWM, that's you, Ed.
Yep.
I think I heard Curtis, WWM, I think I heard VRA, and I did hear VGF. So stand by, guys. Ron, interesting question. And you've got three guys ready to give opinions, and they're going to be very interesting, too. Anybody else who'd like to get on the list to respond to Ron? Okay, let's go to Curtis first. Again, just to sort of set it up for the benefit of somebody out there who maybe wasn't listening with both ears. Ron has a Pro 43. We won't mention the stores that sell Pro 43. And when he bought it, it had the whole cellular frequency range in it. There was nothing illegal at that time for the manufacturer to produce it. And now he goes into the store to get service on his scanner, and it appears that the clerk in the store tells him, well, if you give us the scanner back, we will make the necessary service work, do the repair on your scanner, but at the same time we're going to modify it so that it can't monitor the cellular range. Interesting. N2WWM, WD2RVA. Curtis, all yours.
Oh, very good, Ed. I guess that's the store with the big red R with the circle around it. I don't know if that's the first time you had a problem like this, but what I should say, Ron, is that at that moment, I would have took the radio and would have bought the part, opened it up myself, and would have repaired the earphone jack. I repaired a potentiometer on the on-off switch on my wife's unit, and I bought it. That was a reconditioned Radio Shack unit. I would never have them touch any of my radio equipment. In fact, I had something a while back with a Radio Shack product, and gave it to them, and they said it was beyond repair, which is not true. It was repairable, and they still charged me the $40 repair charge, even though that they did not fix the unit. So I lost home my whole respect in their service agreement. And this is before that they took on other product line. And I've seen things when I walk into the store, people getting back cordless telephones, and they're telling the people that it's not repairable, and all probably it is. It's probably just by changing the battery, you probably can get the phone to work again. So I lost all my respect in the service division of the Big R. Back to Net N2WWM.
All right, there is one station in there. Just give us your call letters, and we will add you to the list.
Friend, Jeff.
Yeah, this is KB2, URZ.
Okay, URZ, I assume that you want to add a comment. We'll put you on the list for the comments, and we'll be getting to you momentarily. Let's go to Frank into VRA. Frank, what say?
KE2N also.
KE2N, Jerry, recognized with a comment. Okay, Frank, VRA, go.
Okay, let me see if I have it into VRA. All right, Ed. Yeah, a clerk, definitely. I personally believe the clerk has, they cannot downgrade a radio and take something out of it. If it was purchased with a sales receipt, and at the time it was okay to have such a radio, they can't come in. That's your property. They can't come in and downgrade it and say, we're going to do this. I think the guy's a little quacky over there. And Curtis said he had a bad experience. I've had, actually, the repair shop's right up the street from me on Lincoln Avenue over here. I was surprised to see that they're only a stone thrown away. I had a stereo receiver fixed. The memory was fixed for the presets. They did a great job on that. I had it back in 3 days. And they fixed the crystal scanner that died on me. I had that back in a week. So, and it's, everything's working fine since, about 2 years ago. So I have no complaints with them as far as that. As far as that other problem, Ronnie, that you had with the radio, which caused you to bring it in initially. The name of the game is dust, dust, and dust. Dust will kill your radio. It's as bad as water. If you're not using a radio for a long time, you don't want to spend, you know, the bucks on a leather case or whatever, get a piece of saran wrap and just drape it over the radio. Use it for a dust cover. It works great. I have that on my 390. My 390 sits horizontally on a shelf. And, you know, you just can't get rid of dust, no matter how clean you are. The thing would be filled, and you know what happens with the volume controls and the squelch and all that. They get all kinds of crackly and whatnot. Let me drop one second. You can buy this propellant. It's an air spray, and I think you can get it in the Office Max. I know you can get it in the Price Club. And they're usually two to a pack, around $7, $8, something like that. Comes with one of those long straws on it. And as far, you know, maybe when you were putting the ear jack in, the plug in the earphone jack, you're getting a crackly sound or something. Well, that's that dirt on your contacts in there. So if you take a Q-tip with a little tiny bit of alcohol and make the Q-tip really pointy and just stick it in there and swish it around a little and then just use a few jets of the air spray, that should solve your problem. I do it all the time on some of my radios in the shack. I have crackly volume switches, and once a month I'll give them a blast. And that takes care of it. We had a very minor problem right there. But the Tinker Toy General that looked at your product, he had no right to, like he wanted to confiscate it and to bring it up to the time. You can't do that. Again, I stress, you've got a receipt, and you bought the radio at that time, and that's the way it was made, so it has to stay that way unless you authorize such a repair, whether it be an upgrade or a downgrade. And that's my comment. WB2RVA N2VRA, back to you.
Thank you, Frank, for those words of wisdom. I think you said a lot there. Let's go over to Ron into VGF with further words on this, Ron.
Yes, I missed a little bit of it, I think. Did you say that Ron modified the radio at all between the time he bought it and now? Could you answer that one question?
Negative. Never touched it.
Okay, here's the thing. The Pro 43, I hate to be a party pooper, but the Pro 43 originally never has cellular capabilities. It goes from 851 to 868. And then it goes from 896 to 999 megahertz. And I don't see where it has cellular. So, I hate to be a party pooper, but, you know, can you, Ron, explain that to me? How it can receive it when it's never had it?
Well, it depends on when you bought it. I don't know when you bought yours. I bought mine when it was only out about 2 months.
Okay, well, what CWM said that he had bought it, and at the time he bought it, it did have the cellular in it, and since Ron's got the unit right there, I would assume that he's correct. Back to you, DGM.
Yeah, I got the Pro 43 also, but I don't have that. I have those from eight, well, this was, you know, the same month. I mean, I don't, maybe I take it out, but this is like I got this a couple years ago before the press strain. So I don't have that. And it was modified by someone, but that's besides the point. But I have the original, manual, the original one, and it doesn't have it, but I guess he has it. But I can't answer that, but all I know is I have it, the manual right here, and it skips that area. So that's all I have to say.
VRA, additional comments, please.
Okay, Ron, thank you. Adding VRA back on the list, and we're going to go to KB2ORZ. Could you please give us your first name, all day?
You talking about KB2URZ?
Sorry about that. I wrote it quick, and I sort of closed the U. I'm sorry, URZ.
Thank you very much. It's KB2URZ. The name is Shell. I've been listening to you your net for a little while there, a few weeks and all that. Very good. Okay, the law went into effect April of 1994.
any radio manufactured or imported before April of 1994 was legally and illegally sold. Alright, now, the fact that you have that radio, if it does cover the cellular, it's completely legal for you to have that radio. Any radio that was manufactured or imported before the ban was able to be sold legally after the ban. They could sell any existing stock, and you can legally possess it, use it, and all that, as long as it was one of the pre-ban ones. Nobody could tell you it has to be modified or anything like that. The clerk is completely ignorant. As long as it was, as long as it was one of them pre-ban ones, it is fully legal to own and use. You're just not supposed to listen to the cellular frequencies. You're supposed to skip over them and listen to the other stuff. But nobody could tell you that it's illegal to have it. They cannot tell you it has to be modified, because legally, it does not have to be. It is legal for you to own it and possess it and use it as you wish, as long as you don't tune to those frequencies. So anyone who tells you that it's illegal to have it like that is completely wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The ban only pertains to the ones made after, any scanner made after April of 94 or imported after cannot have the cellular. So anyone who tells you that doesn't know what he's talking about. It's fully legal for you to possess and use. Enjoy. KB2, you are good.
KB2 SGJ.
KB2 SGJ, John recognized. John, I assume, and just answer yes or no, because I'm putting you on the end of the line here, I assume that you have a comment on what we are now talking about. Is that correct, John?
Yes, that's affirmative, Ed.
Okay, John, stand by. Your number three on the land mix trip. Thank you, Shell. I think you have really put a nice clear light on the situation. Let's go over to Jerry, KP2N. Tell you what, I'm going to cut this off after John, because it's so interesting and vibrant that we could probably talk about it until 10 o'clock. So we're going to pick up Jerry, we're going to pick up VRA Frank, and then John, and then we have to move on. Ron, very interesting point. KE2N in the group, WB2RBA.
SK2N, I read in the group. Yeah, that was interesting. I'll make it brief. One, if this was true, I'd ask them to see something in writing. There'd have to be some kind of notice to customers and to staff saying, you know, if so-and-so happens, you must do this. And I'm sure his party said, of course, it's illegal for them to touch something that was legal at the time. They can't do it. The proof of that would be there's an outfit up in Massachusetts that we all see advertising and monitoring times that unlocks cellular radios made prior to a date, and even says we can only do it on some radios. They can still unlock them, so it doesn't give them the right to lock it. You can walk into another Radio Shack and you won't get that story. In fact, if they lock it on you, you probably, they're going to have to unlock it.
Right.
So the fact that somebody still does it, that you had nothing in writing. The fact he told you it was worth $700, like I said, and tell him to give you the $700 or tell you who will, I think you'll find that they'll back away on something like that. It's pretty clear. You probably could call the FCC 800 line and ask the question about that and get an answer. I don't know if that's all automated or not. I've been missing my monitoring times. I guess it's because you're moving locations. So I'm just going to send you one big envelope with the numbers that I missed to make it easy, and maybe my envelopes will show up. If not, I'll just send more. But again, if they're locking them up in Massachusetts, how could they lock them down here? This is KE2N. Back to you.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, let's go to Frank and to VRA. Frank, all yours.
All right, thank you, Ed. First of all, I agree with what Shell had mentioned. There was a time in April 94, I do recall reading in one of the magazines that Radio Shack pulled the radios off the shelf immediately and couldn't sell them, the ones that were cell-capable. And they came out, well, they knew this months ahead of time, they had a replacement radio ready to go up there. But there are two different radios. There's one that can get it and one that can't get it. The cutoff date was April 94. I remember reading something about that specifically. As far